You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Grevet.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Grevet. I'm your host today. At Food Integrity Now, we envision a healthy, sustainable world, a world where our food is free of GMOs and harmful chemicals. If you share this vision, go to our website and join us. Our website is foodintegritynow.org, and you can also find us on Facebook at Food Integrity Now and on Twitter, and we also have a YouTube channel. We appreciate you listening today. My guest today is Professor Jill Seralini. Professor Seralini is a professor of molecular biology at the University of Caen in France. He is a researcher and teacher, team leader, and an author of 8 books and over 150 scientific papers and publications. He and his team have been the most published in the world on GMOs, pesticides, and human mammalian health. Professor Seralini is also the president of CREGEN, which stands for Committee for Research and Independent Information for Genetic Engineering. He was the team leader on the longest and most thorough study carried out on GMOs and Roundup. This study, which was published in Food and Chemical Toxicology, had sharp criticism from many of the pro-GMO scientists. In November of last year, his September 2012 study, which had already been published, would be retracted. However, that is not the end of the story. Professor Seralini, welcome to Food Integrity Now.
Good afternoon. I'm in France right now.
I know. It's a little bit later in France than it is here in Colorado, but I really appreciate you being on our show today because this is such exciting information you have to share with us. The study that you did with your team was first published in Food and Chemical Toxicology in September of 2012, but it was retracted by the editor-in-chief in November of 2013 after a sustained campaign of criticism and defamation by pro-GMO scientists. Can you explain the critical comments made by the pro-GMO scientists and what they based their comments on back then?
We published in one of the best journals at the time, Food and Chemical Toxicology, the first long-term study, that means during the whole life of animals, where we have taken their blood and analyzed the organs, like if you follow someone in an hospital during 2 years, but for the animals it was their entire life. So this was the longest study ever done with 100,000 parameters measured on 200 rats ever done since the beginning of experimental science. And also the first study on pesticide and on a GMO at such a level. And we thought that there was a big lack of this kind of study because industry never did it, such as agencies. We have given the Roundup at 0.1 ppb, so like it is authorized in Colorado tap water, for instance, or in different countries in the world. FDA, the big food and administrative organization, Food and Drug Administration, has authorized this kind of level in the tap water. So we measured for the first time the pesticide. And you know that the study was retracted. I'm going to explain that, but I'm going also to say that on Tuesday, 24th June, we have published, in fact, 2 papers, and one was exactly on the conflicts of interest in addition to the republication. And this one on the conflicts of interest was published in the same journal, which is Environmental Sciences Europe, because they are in open source. And we explain in this paper, which is on our CREGEN website, CREGEN.org, We explained in that paper that we had, during four months, exchanges with the editor-in-chief, Wallace Hayes, and congratulations from the reviewers, and with the editor in Europe, because each editor is by continent, and they put questions to us, very deep questions concerning the composition of the food, for instance, and the behavior of the rats, etc. And we were congratulated, and the paper was published. Within a day, you know, the Monsanto lobby, so that means people from Monsanto who didn't say that, sent out some letters, and also the so-called Science Media Center in UK, and some communication offices in US, and they have sent out defamations. And they say that this paper was not serious, and that we were not really scientists, and they said all kind of things. For instance, one person called Paul Christou said he was an independent scientist. He didn't declare any conflict of interest, and he said that the paper should be retracted. And he insulted us personally in a letter. He claimed to the editor-in-chief of this FCT, let's call it FCT, Food and Chemical Toxicology Journal, he said that we didn't meet minimal acceptable standards of scientific rigor. And then he attacked us in an article that he published in his journal, because he's the editor-in-chief of a journal called Transgenic Research, in December 2012. And the paper said the same thing. And he said that we had made an abject failure, do you imagine that, to treat the experimental animals in a human manner. That's stupid, but that it is. And then the inability to formulate a valid hypothesis. And then he said that we organized a media fanfare, and he said that it was fraudulent or knowingly inaccurate statements and unethical behavior from our hand, and a transparent attempt to discredit regulatory agencies, an ammunition for extremists, flawed science, and inept science, waste of animals, and then he requested in the same letter more animals in the groups. So it was all that, and he published that in his own journal without telling any conflict of interest. Then we discovered that he was a patent holder of systems to modify genetically plants, and especially to make them tolerant to Roundup, which was the character that we studied in our long-term study. Because in fact, we studied the two kind of pollutants. First, the Roundup by itself, the main pesticide of the world, owned by the society Monsanto. Well, we didn't choose Monsanto products. We are working on the main 10 first pollutants in the world. And it happens that 2 to 3 products belong to Monsanto in this domain. So, and then we worked on a GMO tolerant to Roundup. That means that it can bioaccumulate, it can accumulate high level of Roundup, and it was genetically modified for that. People don't know usually that all agricultural GMOs are designed to be able to contain high level of pesticides, which are toxic compounds. And 80% of these agricultural GMOs are modified genetically to be able to contain high levels of Roundup, so that you treat the field with Roundup and the plant does absorb it at high levels without dying, and you kill everything else. That's the last point of intensive agriculture, facilitating intensive agriculture and the consumption of pesticide, of one pesticide who belongs to the same firm, which is Monsanto, but not of the others. This is why the advertisement was, we will reduce pesticides from other companies. And then the media communication say, you should say, we reduce pesticides, and that's enough. And that's what they say. This is why increasing the major herbicide in the world in quantity may say to them that they reduce pesticides.
Yeah.
And then these people say that to us, and within weeks, another came in. Well, a co-author called Arjo also had patents in the genetic world, a co-author of PRIS2. But then another one came in who is called Richard Goodman. And Richard Goodman from the University of Nebraska, he wrote to the journal that he was unhappy because the journal was not safe to have published our paper because it was not conclusive, not good, and criticized a lot by the whole scientific community. Well, in fact, it was them, the scientific community. These guys are recognizable because they mix themselves with the whole scientific community, like if it was God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, I offer you to enter the board of Food and Chemical Toxicology. And 2 months after our publication, he entered the board. But not at a small level. He became responsible for the whole biotechnology, for all the biotechnology papers in the world. Before, it was functioning continent by continent. So then it happened by chance, I guess it's only a chance, that 2 or 3 papers on GMO risk were retracted before they were published, and the authors were complaining. And we knew that because one of them wrote to us, and then Sir Richard Goodman wrote to us saying that with 3 other persons, there were 4 in total, they requested all the raw data again from our study. So we said, we've been peer reviewed during 4 months, and now the paper is out since 2 months, and you want to review it again? It's unusual. It's, not only unusual, but it's unique in the history of science. And they said, yes, because so many people are complaining that we should review again your data. And the people who were complaining, 75% of those, we have counted them one by one, were plant biologists that mutated by, I guess, a magic chemical in one night in toxicologists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they say it's not a good work, but they never did toxicology in their whole scientific life. We can check that today with the data banks of all the papers that have been published in the scientific world. And then they all say that they are from the scientific community. And our paper was reanalyzed during 1 year. During 1 year, they have put questions. Like the first question was really strange for a scientific reassessment. They say, what is the exact location of the field where you grow the maize? That we would like to have the GPS coordinates.
Oh wow!
So we say, what is that for? It has something to do with science. In fact, we knew that Monsanto was forbidding any research on their seeds and was asking to all the agricultural workers in Europe not to make research on their seeds without agreement with them on confidentiality, etc.
They so, make individuals sign an agreement saying that they will not use their seeds for testing?
That's right. That's what they do. So this is why they wanted to know where we were successful in growing these seeds. And so we said, oh, this is a confidential and this has nothing to do with science. So in fact, we were growing the seeds in an agricultural school in Canada, but we didn't want to say what school, and we had all the authorizations to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the agricultural school was making a lot of trials.
One question real quickly. This was the Monsanto NK603, which is
right.
The maize that you... you used?
Yes, we had chosen one of the main plants that were tolerant to Roundup in the world. There are two of them, transgenic soy and transgenic maize, and both at, for the transgenic soy, more than 90% tolerant to Roundup, and for the transgenic maize, about 80% of the transgenic maize is tolerant to Roundup. So we have chosen the maize because it was a plant highly debated in Europe, because it's only one authorized for growth.
Okay, so what statistics in the initial Monsanto NK603 safety study, what did they demonstrate?
In fact, we had chosen this maize, this particular maize, because I was during 9 years an expert for the French government and then 2 years for the European Union in order to assess the commercial files for authorization and of GMOs. And Monsanto had this file in it. I fought with my colleagues during 2 years to have some experiment on animals with blood analysis. That means that we say it's safer for animals, whatever they are, farm animals or animals, house animals for company, for people. I said it's important to have the first blood analysis of the first animal that we that will eat that, so that we protect all the animals in general because they may have some GMOs in the croquettes, in the feed. And we said 3 months is not enough because animals may live longer, of course. And we would like 2 years trials because that's a normal lifespan of a rat, which is a well-known and unavoidable model in the lab for all experiments. You know, all medical drugs, all chemicals, before being released in the environment, are tested on the rats, which is a model for small mammals and big mammals like the human species. So we counter-analyzed in 205 and 207 the data of this NK603 maize, and we saw that there were problems on livers and kidneys, but Monsanto was, these were the Monsanto tests. They were badly done, so they were only 40 animals in total that were eating this GMO on an experiment of 400. There were 6, for instance, normal diets with different quantities of sugar and salt in the maize, 6 different maize in the control rat. So it's two big group of control rats, and only 2 groups of 20 animals for GMOs, males and females, that were tested at the blood level, but only during 3 months and only 2 analyses. And so we say that's not enough, but still, there were some signs of hepatorenal toxicity. So that means that livers and kidneys were leaking and there were some inflammations. And Monsanto said, well, this is not related to the treatment. And they said that to the governments because it's within the normal variation that you see with the 6 other control groups eating different maize.
And who funded the study that you did? Where did you get your funding?
Oh, at the time, to reanalyze Monsanto's data was a study done with my own funds in the University of Caen. But what we did is that we have given, we needed to have back all the data on the computer because when we won for another maize, the MOA 863, when we won in the court because Monsanto attacked the government, the German government, because it gave us the right to analyze the raw data, because Monsanto had deposited the raw data first in Germany. Then it was given to all the European countries. But it was first deposited in Germany, and the German government covered the data with secret because Monsanto requested the confidentiality, and the German government didn't say anything. So the data were kept as a governmental secret. Oh. It's stupid for 40 blood analysis of rats, you know. But it's the same in the States. So that means that you cannot have access to the blood analysis of animals that were performed by Monsanto on the other GMOs. Mm. It's they keep that secret, all for pesticides also. So we wanted to put on the computer more than 1,100 pages of numbers, both side of the papers. And so Greenpeace said, I can give you a fellowship for a student during 3 months during his master's studies. To do that as a, so it was a very small amount of, I don't know, 2,000 euros at the time for several months in total for a student to do a summer job. And so we accepted that. And for that, they said that we were sold to Greenpeace and so on. But we had no other possibility because the university didn't want to pay a secretary to do that during several months. Mm-hmm. And we counter-analyzed Monsanto data, and that's the time when we saw that there were deficiencies at the kidney and liver levels. And you know, also we went to the court because Monsanto said that it was they were the people from the French Association of Plant Biotechnology defamed us, saying that we were sold to Greenpeace.
Mm.
So then we went to the court and we made a defamatory complaint and we won, and they have lost their case. So this was back in 2011 because the court affair lasted a long time. But anyway, then we went to the government, and because of this court action, we had 19 GMOs files. And we published in 2011 in Environmental Science Europe that for all GMOs, they were 9% side effects within 3 months of treatment recognized by the companies, and 45% of the side effects were concentrated on the kidney. So then we said we need to make long-term studies now.
Okay.
And that's what we did, in fact. And that was the publication in 2012. And then we had crow funding and funding of by food companies. We had more than 50 people and societies who gave us in total 3.2 million euros in order to do the first study independent from the company in the world for already commercialized products. And so that's what we published in 2012.
Okay.
So this is why the industry was really upset.
Yeah, I bet they were. So what were your findings in that study?
In the study, we discovered that, in fact, the first early signs of liver and kidney toxicity became real severe pathologies at the kidney level. There were leakage, and the statistics we did there were really potent. It is called the OPLSDA method, used for genomic analysis in the most modern computer labs. So we measured several thousands and thousands of parameters and put all that in the computer to discover the discrepancies between the normal parameters in the rat, in the control rat of our study, and in the control rats of our study, and in the treated rats, either with the GMO alone, the GMO treated with Roundup, and the Roundup alone in the tap water at very low levels. And we discovered kidney and liver diseases, but also an inversion of sexual hormones after 15 months of treatment, and also after 12 months of treatment, an increase, a particularly high increase, 2-3 times, in mammary tumors. And most of them were fibroadenoma. There were some adenocarcinomas, that mean cancers, but not all of these tumors were cancers, but they were more deleterious and more lethal than cancer sometimes, because this treatment with the GMO or the Roundup has given endocrine disturbances, hormonal disturbances, and inducing estrogen-dependent mammary tumors, and they were hemorrhagic. So this is why the rats were dying simultaneously to the development of big tumors, and they pressed on vital organs, and the rats were dying because of that also, and they were also secreting some hormones and toxins. Most probably, we didn't find all of them, but we are confident that there was a statistically significant. Some scientists from the French Academy of Science have demonstrated that since increase in tumors in comparison to the controls. Oh. And one of the major criticism was these were not the good rats because they are spontaneously sensitive to tumors. And the industry kept saying that. And people criticizing a lot kept saying that. So that if the rats are too sensitive, the normal rats have normally 80 to 90% incidence in tumors, which is a huge number for us. We had three times less in our control after 2 years. And also the chronological development of tumors was 1 year later for controls in comparison to treated rats that were with tumors 1 year before. And so we thought that there was something wrong with their numbers. And we discovered in the bibliography, in the scientific bibliography, that, and we checked that afterwards, that the normal feed used by industry is contaminated with either PCBs or dioxins or with heavy metals and, of course, with pesticides and elevated levels of GMOs. For instance, we have found in one feed in North America used by Monsanto more than 50% Roundup Ready tolerant GMOs, and they were using that as a normal rat for a normal rat. So then they say that the rats are very sensitive, but it's kind of stupid because in fact the normal rats in the normal feed, the so-called normal feed for them, are already got GMOs and pesticides. So we discovered that industry has controls that are not good, and this is why they say that these rats are too sensitive. So then they compare any result that they have with the good with the GMO, not good, but the GMO. Which is very well known, like the naive tolerant to Roundup. They use that to as a treated, and in the control they have other GMOs tolerant to Roundup. So this is not fair, and this is hiding the truth. And we understood why they comparing these two falsified groups. They say that there is no difference. And that the rats are too sensitive. And you imagine that these spraggly rats are used in more than 280,000 experiments in biology. So saying that the rats are not good, it's kind of stupid. That means remove 280,000 scientific papers from the whole world. And what all we have discovered on mammals. And there are a number of toxicological long-term experiments which are done with these rats, which are even recommended by OECD, sorry. So, which is the Organization for Development and Commercial Issues. So, we found that, and they said there are no statistics in our study. But they didn't open it, obviously, because I described the OPLSDA method, which is used for genomic analysis. Yeah. So, saying that, they have said there is no link between GM and cancer. Unfortunately for them, And Wallace Hayes, who was sensitive to the arguments of Richard Goodman, said finally to us, "We have analyzed your raw data during 1 year post publication, and nothing, that there was no fraud, no misinterpretation, no intentional misinterpretation, but your results are not conclusive enough because you cannot use these rats, not enough rats, because of course, if you have high background, you should use a lot of rats in order to demonstrate any effect, but we had no high background, so we were able to conclude." I mean, they said, "You're not able to conclude because these rats are too sensitive." And then we said, "But you knew the strain of the rat and the number of rats per group when you published us. At the first day you receive a paper, you knew that. So you should have retracted the paper by the beginning, at the beginning, not 1 year after. And what happened so that you were blind of that argument 1 year before?" And then he said, "And you have taken the argument of Monsanto." And he said, "Well, but finally, you cannot conclude between GMO and cancer." Unfortunately for this man, and unfortunately for the whole journal, and unfortunately for the scientific community and Monsanto, we didn't pronounce, we didn't write the word cancer annotation.
Can you explain the difference between a toxicology study and a cancer study?
Of course. Of course there is a difference. During the toxicology study, you measure all very detailed blood analysis, and then when the rats are dying, you detail all the organ parameters. You do like if a person was in an hospital, and you have an analysis at death, and during the time he's alive, you are analyzing all the organs and making all kind of blood and urine analysis. So this is a toxicology study, and you should report all the disease you see, all the problems you see in the organs. A carcinogenicity or a carcinogenesis study, you give a carcinogen or a supposed carcinogen at the beginning, and after 2 years, you look at the cancers only. For instance, if there is a kidney leakage and a kidney inflammation, you don't have to report it if it's not a cancer. So it's very incomplete, and we had no reason. And normally, a carcinogenicity study comes after you've made a toxicology, a full toxicology study, and you focus on cancers if you wish, if you want to study that. But we had only some cancers, but most of the tumors were not cancerous, but they were fibroadenoma, more deleterious than cancers, and also pathologies at the kidney levels, especially, and hormonal disturbances that were also preoccupying or a lot. This is the reason why in our 2012 paper, and even now, we didn't conclude especially on cancer, because we studied all kinds of pathologies in the different organs. So we didn't talk about cancer, even if we have put an adenocarcinoma, which was a cancer in photography, in our paper, because we wanted to show everything. This was a transparent study, and we have shown everything we've got. But we didn't conclude especially on cancer. And that's what they focused on. This is, they said, it is carcinogenicity study. You cannot have a link between GM and cancer, so you are all wrong. It was kind of stupid, you know, but they are not shy about stupid arguments, unfortunately.
Right. It sounds like they'll do anything to discredit any studies that conclude that GMOs are harmful to health.
That's right. And pesticides also, because, you know, GMOs are really sponges for pesticides, and these pesticides may have effects by themselves, like fungus.
Yes, I've learned a lot about glyphosate recently because I've interviewed Dr. Don Huber and Dr. Terry Vrain, and a lot of people now believe that we really need to shift our focus on the harm caused by chemical cocktails that are, you know, getting into our water and our soil. And now there's been a few studies where they've found it in urine and as well as in breast milk.
Yeah, that's very important because, you know, we have another kind of subject in our department, in my group. It's the study of mixtures of chemicals on human cells. And we have published a lot, about 15 papers on that subject, especially on Roundup. And we have found that glyphosate was not the most toxic in the mixture sold by the industry. In Roundup, glyphosate was about 1,000 to 100,000 less toxic than the mixture in Roundup. And the mixture was formed by a series of adjuvants, very corrosive detergents, which are, for instance, toluamine or also polytoxyalkylamine, so that's complex. These are complex scientific names. Anyway, they are detergents and probably burn fat from pigs or something like that. And we have tested the mixture towards glyphosate. And the mixture is always around 1,000, sometimes a lot more toxic than glyphosate. And it, in fact, inhibits the cell respiration. So it prevents cells from breathing, from to breath. And we have shown where it was impacting in the cells. I will not explain all the details because it's a bit complicated, but we have at least five endpoints in the cell, in the heart of the of each cell, in the nucleus, to show that not only glyphosate, but also the whole formulation is very toxic. So this is why to our rats we have given Roundup and not glyphosate alone. And I think that only a few people know that because during a long time we have trusted the companies saying glyphosate is Roundup and this is false, this is a mistake. And so that they had only glyphosate assessed by authorities and they were making their experiments only with glyphosate for the authorities to accept Roundup. And this was really a false way to assess the herbicide. It's unfortunately, it's true for all pesticides.
So it's the combination of the chemicals that makes them so toxic.
That's right. And the adjuvants are toxic by themselves. So what we did is to mix the so-called active principle, the declared active principle of industry on our human cells at environmental levels. Sometimes we had 10 times more toxicity than each compound taken alone. But we went further and we mixed one active principle together with the formulation of the pesticide, that is the mixture of detergents. And then we had up to 1,000 to 100,000 times more toxicity. So we say there is no point to study the mixture of active, the so-called active principles. We should study the mixture, the toxicity of the mixtures as they are sold. And then you see the real toxicity for which the industry has worked during years to obtain the most toxic herbicides on plants or the most toxic insecticides on insects. But these formulations have also the major side effects on human cells or on animal cells or on fish cells in general and or urchin eggs or whatever marine form of life. And we have very well understood that, and today nobody speaks about Roundup toxicity, but a lot of researchers are still talking about glyphosate toxicity. But they never use, in the real life, glyphosate alone. They use formulation of Roundup.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. My understanding that when it was republished, you described the lobbying efforts of the GMO crop supporters to force the editor of FCT to retract the original publication.
Yes.
I just would love you to share a little bit more about that.
Okay. In fact, we published two papers. One, a real experimental one, on the republished study with more explanations on statistics and more explanations of the pathologies. And this has been published. And in the same time, we published another paper to analyze what happened with the lobby to make our paper retracted. I began to speak about that concerning Richard Goodman and Wallace Ace and the fact that he concluded that we cannot make any link between GM and cancer, and then he retracted the paper. And then there was a big reaction from the real scientific community, so that means kind of anybody in university saying, well, there was even an editorial in Environmental Health Research, another journal, saying, well, you say these are the data, you see them and you don't see them, and then you say that they are not conclusive. So it is not ethical to remove a paper because you think that the conclusion is not right. The data are still there, so you should maintain the paper. And then it's well known that the author can make some conclusions that are discussed by others. And this is the way the science works. So that's fair in the scientific system. You show the data, you make conclusions. So the data are, they are pathologies, and you make the conclusion that it is due to Roundup or to the GMO, and in our case it was both. So then another one can publish a paper saying, I've seen your data, I think that they are inconclusive because these are not good graphs. But they never published an experimental paper to show that on another strain of rat, there was no problem. And even if it would have been so, this would have not solved the question of the toxicity on some animals or on some human beings, because you know that it is a human model for biology, the rat. So then the process was unfair because nobody else published any paper at this level. And it was the first time in the world that a GMO was tested with so many blood parameters published, or a pesticide in full formulation, like I said, with the detergents, etc. So then five editors proposed us to republish our paper, and we have said that we will choose the one who will publish it in open source. So that means that we can share the data with the scientific world, and the editor doesn't say the data are belonging to me now because I have published. And then the whole paper will be free of charge, can be seen by the scientific community, etc. Because normally you should pay, like when you buy a journal, you should pay a registration fee to have access to the paper. So it may be up to $50 for one paper to see the original work. So we didn't want that, and we want to share with the scientific community because it was a commercialized product on a high scale. You know, probably billions of people have eaten Roundup residues or GMOs containing Roundup throughout the world. So it was a matter of public health, and we wanted to share that. And that's what we did this week on the 24th of June.
And so that publication is Environmental Science Europe, correct?
Right. Because it's a Springer journal, the other publishing group, because Food and Chemical Toxicology belongs to Elsevier, so we wanted to publish in another kind of editor, publishing group, and Springer offered that to us, and we have chosen the journal in open source. And then they began again. Monsanto has written an opinion saying there's nothing new, and so we take care of our products, and this is not a new study. But before they were saying that the study was not existing anymore.
Right.
There are a lot of
contradictions. So now they have to recognize that it is a study. That was going to be my next question to you. How have the pro-GMO scientists reacted to this resubmission?
The stupid arguments of the pro-GMOs are not my research subject. Unfortunately, I do not read them all the time. But I've read enough to publish a paper on the things. I know that they are not real scientists, you know. I have seen so many confirmations in my expert life at the governmental levels. I've written a book in French and then to explain the whole story, which is called We Are All Guinea Pigs. And I have written another one on the hidden poisons. It will be published in French at the autumn. I would be really pleased if somebody wants to translate it in English. And I explain all these confirmations that I have seen during 9 years. And I explain how the food is contaminated and poisoned by some products which are really badly assessed. And this is organized. That's what I discovered. And I explain also the solutions for that and how we can have good food. The solutions are we need transparency. So if you transparency on the assessments of all these chemicals. So today it is unacceptable at a human level that the blood analysis obtained by Monsanto after nourishing their rats during 3 months are not available to medical doctors, to the interested public, to readers, etc. Because they are the first times there. And of course, if you see that, you see that they have only measured the side effects on 40 rats or 10 rats. Because they say, we had 200 rats under experiment, but in these 200 rats, they measured on a serious basis with blood parameters only 40 rats. You know, if you have the experiment they have done, then you can measure the seriousness of of their work. And the problem is that today, all that is confidential. Not only like it was confidential for tobacco or for asbestos or other pollutants, it is confidential for all GMOs, for nanotech, for chemicals today. They say they assess that very precisely, the government say it's very good, and it's a high-level science, but nobody can see that. It's secret. So it is stupid, because normally, according to the law in every country, public health tests and environmental tests should be released in internet. You know, it is not normal to have secret access to only for experts to these things, because then they can buy a few experts and only less than 10 people read that in the world. So today we should change for transparency, really, at the level of the blood analysis that have been made to authorize all these products. And I would be very happy if people in North America ask to their governments, please put on internet the health tests that have been performed in order to authorize such or such product. And then we will be in a real
world. Well, unfortunately, I think that the American government has been bought by the corporations, and this is a problem. But
according to the law, you should want, because the public test should be, the public health test should be known.
No, and I think if enough people would demand this, that we could make that happen. And now that this study has been republished, what impact do you think it will have upon the further growing and consumption of GMO crops? Do you feel it'll have a major impact?
Well, you know that this study in 2012 was the most consulted study in the history of science.
Right.
We had millions of views, and usually it doesn't happen for a normal paper in science. And now there was even press reports in Asia, in China, in different countries in Asia, in Africa, etc., of course, in Europe. I think that seeing the papers The United States of America are very isolated in the human progress because they have been the only ones making so much food GMOs in the world. You know that more than 90% of agricultural food GMOs are made by North and South America. And in Argentina, for instance, under the pressure of USA. So in all other countries of the world, more than 160 countries, we have signed the so-called Agreement for Biodiversity, which is called the Cartagena Protocol. And it is said in this protocol that GMOs should be labeled, should be recognizable at the borders of the countries at least. So, for instance, it is the case in China. They assess GMO so that it doesn't pass 5% of residues without being known by authorities or by people. And sometimes it happens that the food industry makes labels, like in Europe, on GMO food. And so then any person has a choice, which is not possible in the States.
Right.
And I am really disappointed for that because States is a big country where the freedom should exist.
Well, Vermont has passed that GMO labeling, but however, the biotech industry and the Grocery Manufacturers Association have now filed suit to stop that. And
But it should be at the federal level.
Yeah. Well, the problem with it being at the federal level, as I see it, is that scares me a little bit because it's going to take away some of the individual efforts that are happening in different states. And I think mm-hmm. that once it gets tied up at a federal level, it could be years before we see labeling. So I don't know. I think in a perfect world, that would be great. But as we know, it's not a perfect world. So thank you, Professor Seralini, and thank you for your team, for all your efforts and your tenacity in getting this study republished.
Well, it's my role as a scientist to make it available for the whole world.
Yes, I agree, but we appreciate the efforts you and your team have taken to make sure that this study is revalidated and that it can be seen by everyone. And it certainly seems like a wake-up call to the world about the effects on human health. So thank you again for doing that, and we appreciate you taking this time. I know you're a very busy man right now to do this interview with us.
Thank you very much.
So, and thank you to our listeners, and we'll be back next week with another important show.